Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are with us, that in your arms we feel your love. Open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, and our hands to what you have for us this day. That in all things, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. So this morning's message is called Growing in Grace. And as we talked about a couple weeks ago, when we had Romans chapter 11, verses 12 to, I think, 19, that we talked about this thing called justifying grace, which is, and I'll just repeat the definition for you, the assurance of forgiveness that comes from repentance, from turning towards God's gracious gift of new life. And in the Romans passage we heard read this morning, and I'm going to be reading from a slightly different translation, Paul talks about how when we are justified by our faith, we have peace through God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus Christ that we have obtained access to this grace. And we don't boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. We also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. What a beautiful promise that is. And something that we have access to from the moment we kind of recognize who Jesus is. That justification, that our assurance of forgiveness, that feeling that John Wesley had where his heart was strangely warmed, it leads to peace. And it's a peace, as Paul says elsewhere, that surpasses understanding. In some ways, I think I describe this peace as a heart knowledge that I am loved, that we're all loved. And it's not something that we can only know with our minds. But it's a relational knowledge. And one of the things that Paul talks about through a lot of his letters to different people and places is this idea of relationship and how we are in relationship with God. And through that, we have this assurance, we have the justification, and we have this peace that comes. And I'm not sure about you, but I don't necessarily appreciate suffering. And you don't have to answer this out loud, but I want you to think about, when was the last time you thanked God for your suffering, for when something didn't go your way, or you maybe got injured or sick or you know, something. It's not our first inclination, is it? Our first response is probably to cry out to God and say, why have you done this? Or why have you allowed this to happen? Thanking God for our suffering can seem like a weird thing to do. And yet, Paul talks about how our suffering leads to endurance, or in different translations, patience, like in the fruit of the Spirit. It's the same thing, kind of long suffering-ish. endurance leads to character, and character leads to hope. So if we suffer and let God be with us and speak to us in our suffering, we can gain endurance, we can gain character, and then we live in hope. That's often what we want, isn't it? To have hope of some kind. And this question of what do we put our hope in? We often put our hope in external things, right? Like, oh, I'm gonna get this job, or, you know, oh, if I get this new car, my life will be better, or, you know, if I do well in sports, you know, my life is gonna be fulfilled. That's not the kind of hope that Paul or Jesus talks about. And I think there's this underlying notion or idea, and I've talked about this before, that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, that our lives will be more easy than difficult. And so when we suffer, when things don't go our way, or when bad things happen, or things that we're not happy with come into our lives, we get upset, understandably so. And yet at the same time, I think we can forget that suffering and living into it and through it gives us hope in what is true. And that truth, with a capital T, is Jesus. If we look at Jesus' life and just the life of the apostles, so if we take, 13 people, especially the apostles, they rejoiced in their suffering. If you read Acts and some of the other epistles, the letters, they were thrown in jail on a regular basis. And they sang hymns. They rejoiced. And it gave them an opportunity to witness to Christ's work in them and in Christ's work for all people. Because the second part of this Romans passage is what Jesus did for us. You know, where Paul's talking about how, most people wouldn't die for a good person. And yet Jesus died for us as a sinful lot of people, for everyone. And that's an amazing thing. God's kingdom is open to all people. What a beautiful invitation that is. And Paul writes this, especially having experienced it, right? Like, he was in prison several times throughout his ministry. He had arguments with other believers, just read parts of Acts. And he received ridicule from non-believers. It seemed like everywhere he turned, something was happening where he probably could have been upset about it. But Paul has been transformed in part because of what Romans 5:5 says, that God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The Holy Spirit's also known as the advocate, or our helper, our counselor, lots of different names. But Jesus, in his life and death and resurrection and ascension, has given us a helper to help us move through this kind of circular process of suffering, endurance, character, and hope. And so I've got a few questions for you. You don't have to answer them. They're more for your thought after worship and throughout this week. But as you go through your life, day to day, how is God showing up? What is God doing in your life? Do you notice how the Holy Spirit is transforming kind of us, and us as the church, and us individually, through God's love? can we identify ways that we are growing in God's grace? These are the things that Paul talks about with people on a regular basis. They're the things that he writes about. And I think that if the only time that we spend with God is on Sunday morning in this hour, then we're not going to see a lot of transformation in our lives, because there are 167 other hours in the week. We need to pay attention to what God is doing. And it's not like we have to be constantly vigilant, like, oh, if I don't do this, you know, I'll be smited. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we have an opportunity to see how God is at work, to see how God has been present in our suffering, in things where we've had to be extremely patient about, how we've developed our character, how the Holy Spirit has transformed us. We get to be able to track that. And that's what gives us the confidence to witness to what God has done in our lives, to be able to say with examples, this is how God's grace has transformed me. This is what God has done for me, even in the midst of my suffering. It's a beautiful thing, right? Because, you know, as someone volunteered in our prayer concerns and joys, that we need to be praying for our country. Absolutely. Absolutely. We also need to be bearing witness to the love that God has for each one of us, regardless of whether we disagree politically, religiously, you know, whatever it is, we're called to extend God's love and grace. And one of the ways that we can bridge the gap between us as individuals is be able to identify the different ways that we see God at work in our lives. One of my beliefs about following Jesus and being a Christian is that we are pretty much constantly invited to grow in God's love and grace. There are opportunities after opportunities to receive God's love and then share it with others. And I also believe that we make a difference by extending God's grace and compassion in this world. Jesus did this with the woman at the well. I love this story. I could talk about this story probably for like weeks on end. It's one of my favorite examples in the gospel, gospels, I should say. Because it defies kind of every stereotype that you could imagine holding up in a culture. Men didn't talk to women. Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. Women didn't talk to men. Like, you name it, it's here. Like, probably almost every cultural stereotype you could imagine has been broken in this conversation between Jesus and the woman at the well. But the thing that is the most transformative, to me anyway, is that she felt Jesus' love and compassion and acceptance. She felt justifying grace, as we would describe it in the Wesleyan tradition. She felt the assurance of forgiveness. And she had a witness. At the end, one of the parts that I didn't read is where it says that she ran back to the village saying, "He told me everything I had ever done. You have to come meet this Messiah, this Christ." She had a specific example, something that God had done in her life that was transformative. She felt Jesus' love and acceptance and then went and told the entire village and brought him back. And the disciples are standing around looking very confused because they don't understand why they're staying in this Samaritan village for a few extra days when they had other places to be. We are called to grow in grace. And part of that growing in grace is knowing what God has done for us and then sharing it with others. And if we can't name or identify what God is doing in our lives, we can't really give testimony to this love, can we? Because do you remember the example that I gave last week about, you know, inviting people to know Jesus? And, you know, which is better in saying to someone, hey, you know, this is the God that I know. This is what God has done for me. I'll help you develop your relationship with him. Or here's a list of rules. Here's a set of guidelines. If you come to worship every Sunday and do these four extra things, this is what makes you a Christian. Nobody wants more rules. And what connects us as human beings is story. It's our story. And so we can testify or give witness to what God has done in our lives through this pattern of what Paul talks about, right? Suffering leads to endurance, leads to character, leads to hope. It's a beautiful message that has not, and I don't think can not, go out of favor, because it's from the one who is spirit and truth. In so many ways, love, when it's extended with grace and compassion, transforms our world. And so this week, as we pray for those things that God puts on our hearts, as we, you know, pray for our country and pray for people who we know who are sick and, you know, all of those things, I challenge you to look for and write down, because writing down is part of it. It gets it in our brain. Where you see God this week, how you see God at work. It could be in the news, it could be in the sun, it could be in lots and lots of different ways. But God is with us. And I pray that as you take this challenge and look for God in your life this week, that for us individually, and as the body of Christ, it's transformational, that we get to dig deeper into this love of God and how we are truly, truly loved with an unconditional love. Amen.